Let's pray together. O God, we await you. All your world awaits you. Speak to us. Help us to listen. Through Christ our Lord. Amen. I want to speak to you of darkness. Why not? It is the darkest time of the year. The night is encroaching more and more on every day. Plus, now, most people would say, is a dark time in history. Events and developments and emotions pretty well match to the growing darkness in the skies. But I'm not going to elaborate on that. We use the word darkness as a metaphor for the terrible, the sinister, the dreaded. Think of how we use that word mythically in the current spate of fantasy books and films. Star Wars has the dark side of the Force. Come to the dark side, Luke. In Harry Potter, Voldemort is the Dark Lord. In Lord of the Rings, Sauron is Dark Lord of Mordor. Monsters and vampires and witches lurk in the dark. We speak of our darkest fears, our darkest desires. Satan is the prince of darkness. And in a parable of Jesus, there is a man who is condemned to be thrown into outer darkness. It's easy to see where those associations come from. Darkness is the absence of light, and light is what we see by, and the unseen could always be dangerous. Could be doing anything at all. Could be hideous. Who or what is hiding in the dark? Scary stuff. Darkness is also a word we use to stand for ignorance. Not seeing the facts. Not seeing what is real. We are left in the dark. We think also of depression and despair as darkness, where hope is lost sight of. Guilt is darkness too. Blindness to the possibilities of repentance and forgiveness and a whole new life. And grief is darkness. The vanishing from our sight of something or someone we dearly love, and death is our final darkness, to fall from sight into the final unknown. There's a lot to recoil from in facing the dark, living in the dark, disappearing into the dark. But really, we take that too far. Our recoil from the dark and what it might represent is overdone. We have largely misunderstood. Did you hear the line in today's scripture? I will give you the treasures of the dark. There are treasures to be found only in darkness. You know it's true of actual nighttime. You stay indoors with the lights on and you will never, ever see the wonder of the stars. They're up there all the time. Go outside this afternoon and look up. There they are. And you won't see them. We would never, ever see the stars. if it weren't for the falling of darkness. The same is powerfully true in the realm of spirit. The Bible speaks of darkness in a complicated way. More than once it's said that God dwells in darkness, in thick darkness. In the story of Genesis, when God creates everything, God says, "Let there be light," but God does not make the darkness disappear. God only divides it from light, because both have a place, and both light and darkness are good. Further, we learn from that very first chapter of the Bible that the measure of a day runs not from dawn till sunset, but from one sunset till the other, a new day starts when darkness comes. Many of the Bible's great wonders occur in the dark. Abraham, frustrated that God's promise of a child has not come true after all these years, is invited by God to step outside and look up at the stars and consider that his offspring will outnumber even them. Later, Jacob, the scoundrel, running from the brother he cheated, is blessed in the night with a dream of angels ascending and descending beside him. And then years later, on another dark night, wrestles with God and hears blessing anew. And the exodus of the Hebrew slaves from Egypt, it happened at night. And the news of Jesus' birth was given first to shepherds in their fields at night. And the first to come from far away to worship him were led by a star, meaning they could never have found Jesus apart from the night. And the rising of Jesus from the dead, we think of it as happening in the morning light. But it happened in the absolute pitch black darkness inside a tomb. And no one witnessed. The founding miracle of Christian faith takes place in the dark. Centuries before that, a Hebrew prophet sang of God giving treasures in the darkness. And well before that, the prophet sang, "The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light, and those who lived in the land of deep darkness, on them light has shined." These are lines we read in Advent. In the dark of the year, the prophet sings for all of us who walk in darkness, and the song says, "This is where the light will shine." There's nothing said at all about our darkness being driven entirely away. Only that in the darkness, in this land of deep darkness, great light will be seen. And we who see it will know what we did not know before. We will know God with us in new ways. And we will see each other as we had not seen each other before. And hope will rise in us. And a new beginning. How long? Here's the question. Can such a light be seen by us if we pretend we are not in darkness? If we blanket ourselves in false light, refuse to face the fact of whatever long night we are in, and then be steadfastly open to the promise that God will disclose light in that darkness. Barbara Brown Taylor says, too many of us live inside a religion that is totally solar. The call of Christ is to leave a full solar faith, to find new treasures in the darkness, great light given to us precisely there. The love of God is inviting you not to be afraid of the dark. How many of us are in it, but afraid to face it in its fullness? Name your present darkness. Grief, doubt, loneliness, anger, family unhappiness, worry, fear, brokenness. And there you are, in that darkness. And here we all are, in our own measure of it. For we all, as the prophet says, live in the land of deep darkness. It's about all of us. Now, let each of us be present to that in ourselves, and present to it also in each other and to all our people. And let us have the courage to stay present to the dark, and to pray in the dark, and to cry if we need to, and beat our fists if we have to, and to grow still and grow silent and wait and recall that the living God dwells in darkness. We are anxious about what we cannot know, but God is mystery, the mystery inhabiting all that can't be fully known. And the love of God will shine a light here in your darkness, my darkness, our darkness together. A darkness, a light that may be only visible to those who know they are in the dark. It has happened before. It happened in the birth of Jesus, who came, as our carol said, when half spent was the night. Wendell Berry was giving a talk in a small gathering in a coffee house on a rainy, cloudy December day, and he looked out the window and said, "It gets darker and darker, and then Jesus is born." It happened. It happens again and again, and it will happen one day in entirely new form. However and whatever and whenever that may be, and in all the ways in between, light will shine in this darkness. It has happened to all of us before, has it not? In your own past experience, do you not remember surprises of joy when you thought there might be no joy remaining? The descending of a peace that passes all understanding, the showing up at your side of a friend you desperately needed, the sense of the presence of God with you you had not foreseen. recall that. Keep that. Expect that again. Do not expect it to shine quite the way it ever did before, but expect it. And let us expect it to shine for us together. The one who dwells in darkness is also unfathomable light and will make our darkness luminous. Our task in that is to become luminous in it. Did you know your life is meant to be a candle? And so is the life of us all. And we are meant to be lifted together as part of the fulfilling of God's promise to the world. To the people who dwelt in darkness, a great light has shined. Years ago, during the season of Advent, I was in a funeral home to be with a family who had lost a loved one. As I walked into the building, I was greeted by a bright, sweet, 4-year-old girl who, because she knew me, took my hand and led me to the room where her grandfather lay in his coffin. We stood there and she did not let go of my hand. She looked up and said, "It is sad." I said, "Yes, I know you miss him." And then she did something I will never forget. Her mother was standing on the other side of her. She lifted up her free hand to take her mother's hand, as she also held mine. And she lifted her feet off the floor. And as children will do, she began to swing slowly, back and forth and back and forth, and she looked upward and began to sing. "Away in a manger, no crib for his bed, the little Lord Jesus lay down his sweet head. The stars in the sky looked down where he lay, the little Lord Jesus asleep on the hay." She could not possibly have consciously known the connections that her songs were making. Her grandfather in front of her, in his burial box, in her mind, also a baby in a manger box. A man before her, asleep in the dark of death, in her mind also a newborn baby, asleep in the dark of a cattle stall. No crying he makes, no crying anymore. That family and I were standing in the valley of the shadow of death, and she, in her sadness, looked up and sang down the light, the beautiful light, and the darkness around us opened up perfectly to receive it, like a manger received the Holy Child who would change the world. We have seen that light, and we await it. It has shined and will shine, and we will sing and we will shine in the darkness.